just lift up Jesus. All this is about Jesus, not entertainment, but to come together and to remember why we have eternal salvation. Amen? Amen. So praise the Lord. I'm always excited to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And everybody, I want to say, looks so nice today too. So Christmassy. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know if anybody's got bells on this morning. No, I see that. This morning, the scriptures surrounding the Christmas story, there are four truths I want to share with you that speak to us that God, who is at work in the first Christmas, is still the same God that's at work in this Christmas today, too. Yes. Amen? Amen? You know something, I did want to make a statement, though. It is so depressing to think that I, the pastor, was only given 15 minutes to put out a sermon. It's not natural. 15 minutes. Right, Pastor Jim? It's not normal. But I'm going to swallow. Number one, He is the God who brings good news. That's the type of God we serve. He brings good news. See, we have all been shocked by the event in Newton, Connecticut this Friday, right? Unbelievable things happening in this world, evil things that are happening in this world. Such bad news reminds us of the worst sorts of evil in our world that can take place. And I just want to make a statement and just say, let's be careful not to blame the Lord for this. Because a lot of times you see that's what happens when terrible things happen in the world. The first thing we do is point, where was God? But God's very well aware of everything that happens on planet Earth, believe you me. I want to start out by saying Genesis 2:9, if you brought your Bibles, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. How many trees did I just say? Two, didn't I? The tree of life and the tree of good and evil. Genesis 2:17 says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die." God warned him, didn't he? Yes. He didn't want them to touch that tree. Did they die that day? Did Adam and Eve die? No. Yes, they did. They died spiritually. Oh, yeah. They died spiritually. Separated from God at that point of their life. They didn't die physically, but spiritually they died. The woman had a conversation with the serpent. She and her husband were deceived. That was a big mistake. Don't visit with the devil. Don't carry on conversations. Talk to Jesus and let Jesus deal with the devil. Our job is to rebuke him and resist him, and he'll flee from us. We're not smart enough. Amen? Genesis 3:6 says, "And when the woman saw that there was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." See, that's the beginning of the sinful career of man upon planet Earth at that point. It wasn't God's fault. God warned them, but man disobeyed. Genesis 3:22 says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever." Can you imagine if man would have got and eaten from that tree in his sinful state, what our earth would be like today, knowing that there would be no hope, that mankind would live in that sinful state for all eternity. And God had to remove them from the garden lest they eat of that tree. Thank you, Jesus. And did you know that? Did you catch that? And the Lord said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us, our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost was present there." Man was created to live forever should he not sin. Then he lost eternal life in the fall. We can be grateful that we have an ongoing message of good news to share with people who are hurting in these times. Amen? I've got good news. I've got real good news to tell a hurting world in which we live today. I know what to tell people that are hurting today according to the Word of God. And that's because we have a God that brings good news. John 3:16, listen to this. How many know John 3:16 in here? All of us should probably know this one. It's the most popular one quoted, but it's got meaning to it. Just think about that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's good news, isn't it?
Amen.
We were separated from God for all eternity, but then God said he gave his only begotten Son for us. That's what, see, I didn't want to read the Christmas story again because it was sung and read this morning, but that was God. That was God. John 3:16. See, it is Christ Jesus who brings redemption to man. It's Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:10 says, and here's some good news that the Lord told us. He said, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Amen.
That's why it's important to read the Word. That's why we read the Word, because it's light. It's God's light. It's His truth. It's His Word to you and I to know how to make it from this point all the way to heaven. And it's so simple that many people will miss heaven. They'll miss it because they choose not to read it. And this is God's message, His love letter to us. It's the good news. And we should always remember that. I'm trying to put a lot in 15 minutes. His will toward us is good. Luke 2:14, the angel announced the message of God's good will toward men. See, He is the help for the hurting and the brokenhearted. Jesus is the help for the hurting. If you know anybody this Christmas season and they're hurting, their heart's broken, or anything going on in their life, if you are a born-again, blood-bought Christian, you have a message within you that God put in you through His Word. You can go share that to those people and let them know that there's hope. Look at the scripture from the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. How many people?
All.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Do you agree with me that God is the one who brings good news?
Yes.
That's good news, isn't it? There's hope. Could you imagine if we didn't have Jesus right now, what hope would we have? I wouldn't be in here, I'll tell you that right now. What would be the purpose? Number two, He is the God who does the impossible for you. In these days of unrest and instability, He remains the God who can make a way when there seems to be no way. Is there something in your life right now that there's something going on and there seems like there's no way? Well, when you and I put our trust in the Lord, He's got good news for us. He can make a way. He can make a way. If you don't trust Him, you'll never know. You know, when Jesus wanted to do many miracles in His own city, it said He did not many miracles. Why? Because the people didn't believe Him. He was just the carpenter's son, and they didn't come to Him. It wasn't because Jesus was a respecter of persons that He didn't do many miracles. He didn't do them because those people didn't come to Him. They didn't believe in Him. And they missed out, didn't they? He was the way that they needed, but they didn't trust Him. That's why I believe Jesus stood and He looked over Jerusalem and He wept. And He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He wept over it because He was the answer to the world's problems and they rejected Him. Jesus teaching the disciples in a previous verse about the rich hardly entering the kingdom of God, the disciples responded, who then can be saved? If the rich can hardly be saved, Jesus, who can be saved? Here's the Lord's answer, Matthew 19:26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Amen.
Isn't that good news? I'm just thrilled to give you good news this morning on celebrating the Lord's birthday, because He is the good news. And again, the scripture from the Christmas story in Luke chapter 1, verses 30, 35, and 37, it says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost will come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. For with God nothing shall be impossible." God confirms His word with His word. Do you hear? He is the God who does the impossible for you. Is there anything in your life right now that you need an answer to that seems impossible? I'm telling you about a Jesus that was born in Bethlehem that is the God of the impossible. And when you surrender to Him, He can make it possible. Whatever it is. Number three, He is the God who answers your prayer. Isn't that good news? Praise the Lord. Who do you talk to when you have no one to talk to? See, Jesus answers prayer. And many, even Christians, many times we don't go to Jesus in prayer because we don't believe we're going to get the answer. How many realize that through your life that you think that Jesus has never answered a prayer, and many times God has answered that prayer as you and I forget, and we walk through life and we forget to thank Him, and He's already taken care of it and answered the very thing you talked to Him about. 1 John 5, verses 14, 15, and says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will," did you hear that? "To His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him." Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
Is everybody here getting excited like me?
Yeah.
Am I the only one? But you know something? That's good news. If it's within His will, He said, "I'll hear it and I'll answer it. And I'll give you the petition you desire." Who do you talk to when you have everyone to talk to? When you have all kinds of people to talk to? He is still the one that has the answer. You can talk to a lot of people, can't you? But people can't answer certain things in their life. Only Jesus can. That's why I tell people, tell it to Jesus. How many know the old song, "Tell It to Jesus"? But the angel said unto him in Luke 1, 13, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." I like that scripture. See, this is a story about Zacharias and Elizabeth having John the Baptist. He was born, I believe, 6 months before Jesus was. And they were up there in age and everything too, if you go back and read the story. But see, here's the God of the impossible again at work, bringing good news to two people upon this earth. And you know something? When we start putting our focus and our thoughts on this babe, not who is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that has the power of the universe, you can put your trust in Him. Whatever it is. We know the rest of the story. Zacharias doubted the word of God, of the Lord, that the angel delivered. He doubted it. He questioned it. And we do the same thing today when we go to God in prayer. We come before Him and we ask and we make petitions, but then we turn right around and we say something else and we doubt in what He can do. You say, but Lord. Once you say, "but Lord," you're doubting what He said. And if He said He will do it, I can guarantee you with Scripture, He said He'll do it. Amen? That's why we need to be people of faith. We need to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ because He is able to answer. Luke chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 says, "And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of the Lord." How would you like to have that job? "I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these tidings shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Man, I got four sermons all popped into my head, and I only got 15 minutes. But you're right, I'm zeroing in on that. But I tell you what, here's the exciting thing. That just think it, if Zacharias would have listened and believed the Lord, he could have went out and started screaming, shouting, hallelujah, get excited about Jesus. But he couldn't. Because he doubted God's word. You know something? Zacharias asked for a sign, and the sign itself became a punishment for his unbelief. If you go to the Lord and he tells you something through his word or impresses in your heart, believe him, trust him, and he will fulfill it within the season of time that he wants it fulfilled. And we can't hurry God up all the time, because when we do, we miss the miracle. We miss the answer because we don't see it, because we're so engrossed in looking at ourselves instead of looking at the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We miss the miracle in our life, and we go around and we take the long way around to get the answer when it was right there in front of us. Amen? Amen. Number four, my last one. He is the God who guides your steps. Everybody in here this morning, you aren't here by accident. I believe God ordained you to be here, whether you feel like it, you think you weren't. Feelings has nothing to do with it. I believe God brought your footsteps into this building this morning. I really believe that. When questions of direction and guidance, what to do, come forth, know he is your best interest at heart. Jesus does. He has your best interest at heart. He guides you. Just like he did Joseph, he will supernaturally guide the steps of your life. And I believe God has supernaturally guided my steps to where I am today in the world, even though I've been disobedient along the path. His grace and mercy has brought me back to where I belong. Praise the Lord. Psalms 48:14 says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." We're all going to die should Jesus tarry. Some sooner than later, but God knows the day, he knows the hour. But this scripture tells me that this God that we serve, that loves us so much, will be our God right to that point of death. And if you watched a loved one die, it's a time you want Jesus next to you, right? Matthew chapter 1, 20-24 says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife." He didn't know probably at the point, but God was supernaturally guiding his life. And I believe God brought the doubt of Mary's birth, because he had a purpose and a plan to fool the old devil. The devil was running around probably looking for some wealthy person around that was going to be the future king, but all he didn't realize that the future king was going to be born of a virgin. God was supernaturally guiding him. Do you hear? He is the God who guides your steps. And Brahm, do you want to come up and share a song? And then I'll come back and finish.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. They're old familiar carols. Mild and sweet their song.